When you look at a skit like that and you see that person, and I'm assuming that Rick is really like that all the time. Yeah. You see that person and you inevitably go in your mind and you think about individuals that always have something. And the human habit is to think that they are somehow special in God's eyes, and that they are doing some special things. I don't know why this comes to my mind, but I'm going to say it anyway. We think, well, they should write a book so we can all know how to do it. And some do and make a lot of money. Rick, write a book. Nobody would want to read that. Yeah. The truth is that we've all got ideas of how to get there. But that day-to-day walk with God and listening to God is the way to get there. And it's as we do that, we get some understanding of life, and that's more what I want to work with this morning. I don't know if any of you have ever been frustrated with all of the voices that come from every direction telling us how to have faith. I've been very frustrated with it. I've been in that place where my first wife was dying and God had told me she was dying. And I had all these voices coming at me, well, if you'll do this, if you'll do this, if you'll do this, if she will do this, if she will look for that that hidden sin in her life and get that taken care of, then God can get through. And I'm thinking, you got a handicapped God if he can't get through. I mean, and if he needs me, he's really handicapped to get this stuff done. So I don't know about you, but I've had all those voices, and I know the struggle. And this morning, for me, that's what this is about. This little skit brought a lot of things to the fore in everybody's mind, I'm sure. And I appreciate the willingness of these people to put time in that. I looked at it, and the first thing I thought was, my goodness, they put some time in this. But folks, and somewhere in our busyness, we need to find time for God. Amen. And I'm not one that tells you that you have to lock yourself away for 3 hours every morning before you meet your day. But I'm talking about taking small portions of your day and just taking time out to recenter your focus and to realize that all of this agitation, all this storm in my mind, that's not God. Because God doesn't give us that stuff. So take a minute to refocus. Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm going to read quite a lengthy passage of scripture here this morning. And don't shut me down because of what I'm reading, because it's probably not going to be what you think it is. Ezekiel 37 verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life, and I will put sinews upon you, cause flesh to grow back on you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, There was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were upon them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. Just let me work with the word prophesied for a few minutes. That's simply hearing God and speaking what he's saying. It's not what we've often been encouraged to believe that it is. It's not something that's given to man so that he can build a ministry. It's not something that's given to a man so he can control the future of a flock. But it's something that God gives us so that we can bring the breath of the life of God into a normal situation. And I do believe that there is a righteous longing inside of every believer. Everybody that I talk to, almost, I think everybody, there's something in them that's longing to do the right thing, to do the righteous thing. And certainly this, I'm not talking about those that do not yet know God, but I'm talking about people that have served God for a long time. And that very longing that's inside of you to do what God wants and to do the right thing will often drive you if you're not careful. And it will cause that thing I talked about last Sunday, that restlessness inside. You know, the people that respond wrongly to the restlessness are not the only people who are restless. Conviction causes a restless spirit inside of us. It causes us to want to do something and an agitation inside, and that's only human. But you want to do what's right in relationship with God, in relationship with men, but not certain what to do. And then when you actually do something, often we go back to those things that we have already invested in. And what I mean by that is we put time into the way we think. We have submitted ourselves to leaders in various things, and we've looked forward with a certain expectation, and we've prayed in and around those things, and we've invested in that. So when we start thinking about doing what's right, we often go back to that thought pattern. And let me mention again an illustration that's been living on me, is if you go to a clear mountain stream and you bend and you take a drink of that water and it's so cool and so refreshing, you want more. If you just lift your face up for a moment and then put your face right back in and drink, you're not drinking the same water. The water you drank is already gone. It's downstream. And there's a freshness in the flow, and it's different. And when you start to hear the voice of God, when you are constantly and consistently hearing the voice of God and His impressions, His urging, all of those things, if you're doing that, it's going to be fresh every day. It's going to be something a little bit different. It'll still have the same refreshing feeling that was there before, but it's something fresh, something new. And if you start trying to live and assert yourself in that old water, all you're going to be doing is chasing a stream. Hear me? Going from one meeting to another, here, there, everywhere, chasing a stream. Or you're going to just be frustrated. And that's sometimes how that restless spirit shows itself. But what we find is if all we do is study the Bible and pray according to pattern, witness according to pattern, we don't get that restlessness to settle. We don't begin to understand that we are pleasing to God, because the Bible does declare that, you know, that you are pleasing to God because of the blood of Jesus. It declares that you've been accepted in the beloved, and that's something that goes all the time. But we begin to somehow sense that either what we're doing is wrong or what we're doing is not enough, so we continue to try to do the same thing that we've done all of our life, and it produces the same disappointment. Yes, it tasted fresh, that first tasting. It tasted like wonderful manna from heaven, that first tasting, but the next day it wasn't quite so good, and the next day it wasn't quite so good. But when you go back to it from 30 years, it's not good at all. As a matter of fact, it doesn't taste at all nourishing or anything that we need. So we end up in this restless cycle. We're willing, but we're uncertain, and a lot of it comes because of what we've heard in the past. And I talked to someone not very long back that they were saying, I just want to go back to what I had 30 years ago. Please don't get in that mindset. Let's go to what God has for us today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. I was singing an old song as I was getting ready this morning. Yesterday's gone, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, show me the way. Teach me to take one day at a time. Teach me to take it today. Take this moment and to move forward with it. It's the only way that we can get healed sometimes from the damage that life gives us. Now, one of the things that we've been taught over and over again is we're trying to express faith, and we try to do that by denying circumstances. Well, I'm not sick. Yes, you're sick. If you're not sick, you don't need a healing. Don't pray for healing and say, I'm not sick. I mean, it just seems reasonable to a redneck Oklahoma boy that if I'm sick, I ask for healing. If I'm not sick, then I go on my merry way. I know that flies in the face of doctrine. But hey, we need to adjust. We need to have something fresh in this thing. And it goes on and on. If you can quote enough scripture back to God, then you'll get what you need. Come on. You think he don't know what he said? You got to remind him? Yes, I know I'm stepping on some toes, but folks, we need to get real, because we've got this restlessness in the church as a whole that brings the dryness that the little skit talked about, and even the illustration that was in the heart of Ezekiel is right there. So first, I want to identify what is not faith. I've already talked a little bit about that. But faith, first of all, is not intellectual certainty. Some people say, well, I just got to know. Folks, we're all struggling with bits and pieces of a universal culture. And if we are insisting on to God that he must tell us line upon line and exactly how it's going to play out before we'll believe, you're never going to get there. Now, that's human. Oh, God, show me how this works. God, I want to do it, but you've got to show me how to walk in it. And folks, that's just a fallen mindset. It's human, but it's a fallen mindset, and we need to realize that. All around us is pressure of the culture to be enlightened, to be educated. It's there. I'm not saying it's so bad, but out of that age of enlightenment, there's still all kinds of residue there in the church where, to be accepted, the church decided we too have to be enlightened. So we've got to know. God, yeah, we'll do what you say, but we got to know. We got to be able to explain it. We got to be able to put it out. We're scared of being the least little bit mystical. And the truth is, there is mystery in God. There's things about God that I will never comprehend. Now, for me, I'll be found trying, but I don't have to know to follow him. I don't have to know to keep moving ahead. I don't have to know to go ahead and tentatively step into some of the things that he's leading me to. And this secular fallen mind is that insistence of humanity that I must have the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. I must know that. I must know what's good and what's evil and all of that. But faith is not intellectual certainty. Faith is not understanding the process. How many of you have ever insisted on that? God, if this is you, that's okay, but God, I got to understand this. Well, did he say he would be with you always, even until the end of the age? If you really want him, if you really follow him, don't you think that he's probably with you? That he might be a God of integrity, he might keep his word, he might do what he says he's going to do, but how does he do that? How is he with everybody all the time? I don't know. I'm not God. I don't need to know. I know he said he would be, and I have to assume that he's God. I'm going to tell off on Chad now, and the reason I'm doing it is because I think I can get by with it. But he said, sometimes I think he's more of an it because He is so many things and He does so much. And I agree with you, Chad, that sometimes I try to make Him like me. And one of the psalmists says, the reason you don't get the things you need from God is because you think, I am just like you. And that's where we fall short sometimes. We think that God is like us and that He needs somehow to explain to us, and He don't. He's asking you to come with Him. Now, our human need, this is something you really need to get in your mind. Our human need is much deeper than you can comprehend. Our being disconnected from God caused a much deeper flaw in us than our mind can understand. But every broken facet of humanity you see is caused from disconnecting from God and trying to connect somehow to the power of the human mind. And people want to blame all that on God, and there's where you get away from faith, is when you start blaming everything on God. He didn't do it. He laid out a perfect plan. And in Jesus, He came back and reestablished that plan. But we've got this seeming contradiction within us. As a human being, I'm strong. Now, how many of you know that you have moments of strength? All of us have moments of strength. And sometimes we're strong in the wrong ways. But as a human being, I am spiritual and I'm strong and I can make things happen. That's part of being a human being. That's part of being created so close to God. But on the other hand, here's the contradiction, I'm weak. I often don't want you to know it, I often don't want God to know it, but I am weak sometimes because I really can't identify what needs to happen, but I have this drive in me that wants to cause things to happen, so I'll make some kind of calculation, some kind of decision, and I'll start trying to make things happen to try to be godly. Abraham did that a little bit, didn't he? So, God needs to give us a reconnection that's simple for us. And I think that one of the complications of the past 60, 70 years in Christianity has been we've made that process way too difficult. The more I discover about the true process of God, the simpler it gets. And that really doesn't complement my human ability so much. What it does is give me the insight into my real human ability. If I insist on knowing, if I insist on only doing that which I can explain, I'm going to find that thing caving in on me down the road somewhere. Inevitably it happens because deep within my fallen mind is decay. But deep within my renewed mind is the power and the strength of God, and that's where I need to be turning to begin to walk and to begin to live. Now, the record in Ezekiel, the reason I read all of that is, again, let me remind you, prophesy, receive God's word, His breathing forth, His impression, and release it in action and word. Be inspired and speak and live, not just be inspired. A lot of people are inspired. I was talking with a young man out in Los Angeles a couple of weeks ago, and a young man I've known a long time, and I've watched him in his process for God. And he gets to a place where he wants to just be comfortable. He really don't want to push, and he was telling me about this. And then in the next breath, he told me, but you know, I see some things that the pastor could adjust to make things happen in the church, and I see this, this, and this. And I told him, you don't have a right to those kind of thoughts. He said, what do you mean? I said, you're not producing. You're not a part. You're not pushing in and doing something. You have no right to challenge your pastor. Everybody that's functioning in the body has a right to challenge me. I welcome that. But if you're not functional in the body, I'll listen. But that's about it. Why? Because there's a flow. There's a flow. There's a flow. And out of that flow comes the knowledge of God and the impression of God. And so it's not just inspiration for the moment, but it's inspiration for life, inspiration for living, inspiration for speaking, and inspiration for touching someone's life. And sometimes the most effective way you can touch somebody's life is find time to just lay your life down beside them. You don't say anything, you just live. You know that their off attitudes is not going to separate you from the one you love and the one you follow, but you also know that there is a life-giving flow in you. There's a fire that burns inside of me that's going to jump across the borders and the boundaries, and they're not going to know what touched them, but something touched them. Something caused a fire to flare up in them. And that's part of what it's about sometimes, is just finding the time to lay down your life beside other lives and begin living alongside. I love Ezekiel's answer. God says, look at these. Can they live? And Ezekiel's answer is an expression of great faith. God, I don't know. Only you know. Here, that identifies one of our problems. We think we got to know. When you lay your life down alongside your children, your teenagers, your adults that are having children, you lay your life down alongside theirs, you can't declare into them what will make them live. That'll just cause a fight. When God says, you think that I can handle it? The proper answer of faith is, I don't know. But I know that you've called me to do this. I know that you have called me to be this parent. I know you've called me to be alongside them. I know you've called me not to cause division. I know that you've called me to be with them. God, I don't know if they'll live. But I know that you know. And that's faith. God said something that to me is powerful. I'm still pondering this, and maybe I'll get back to it at some time. But he said, tell the breath to blow. That breath is the breath of God. That breath is the Holy Spirit move. And he's telling this flesh and bones man, you speak to the breath. And you tell it to come from every direction and blow. And I'm telling you that hanging out with a true Christian sometimes will cause misery in your life. Why? Because they'll be praying, God, whatever direction you have to come from for them. Whatever you have to do, God, I'm telling you, Lord, that you need to touch these people, Lord. I'm telling you that you need to do something, God. I don't know what to do. I'm doing nothing except be with them and say what you say to say, be what you say to be. That's all I'm doing. Blow wind of God. Blow breath of God. Come upon them, Lord. Lord, I'm believing you for a supernatural thing that I am still so disconnected from you that I can't understand it, but I'm believing that I'm connected enough to know that you're telling me to prophesy to the breath. And God, I'm doing that. Is this making any sense to you? Because, folks, I'm describing biblical faith. Quoting scripture to them most often will not work. I have a personal habit that I'm not telling you it's absolutely right, but I'm telling you that it's worked okay for me. Is I don't memorize chapter and verse. I just read the book and let that thing feed into my conversation. Oh, man. Just feel it coming up and just like it's conversation, just let it feed right in there and see what happens. Sometimes I just love seeing what happens. Now, don't try to direct the wind. Don't try to say, Holy Spirit, I need you to do this, this, and this. I need you to cause my mate to agree with me. God, this woman that you gave me. God, this man that you placed in my life. I just need you to change them, God. I need you. No. Blow wind of God. I don't care if it blows on me. I don't care if it blows on you. I don't care if it blows on somebody else. Just blow wind of God. Breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe. Let us see. And God, if it's me that needs to change, so be it. I can't figure that out either, but I'll do it. Let's think of other Bible examples. Joshua. Moses, he has just gone through something that to me is the most powerful thing. Moses went off in the desert mountain and died and just disappeared into God's realm. The Bible says something to the effect that the angels took his body. But they didn't stand on the ground and look at Moses' body flying off somewhere. He's gone. Joshua had just experienced that. And then they crossed the Jordan River, and here's Joshua. He's doing the charismatic prayer. Oh God. Oh God. God, you got to help us here. We're in this territory. And an angel of the Lord appears to him. That's a charismatic deal, right? Angel of the Lord appears, and Joshua says, whose side are you on? Our side or their side? And what did the representation of God say? That I'm the captain of God's army. I'm on God's side. If you follow me, we'll get this accomplished. And Joshua still didn't know what to do. So now he's facing this Jericho, and he prays and asks God what to do. And God says, tell the people, we're just going to march around the city today. That's okay. That's kind of non-threatening, except they have a history of throwing rocks off of those walls and dumping hot oil off of those walls and all of that. But yeah, if God says it, we'll walk around the wall. Tomorrow, God, what are we going to do today? Walk around the wall. And today, walk around the wall. And get to the seventh day, what are we going to do today, God? You're going to walk around the wall seven times. Now, do you think the people agreed with Joshua all the way through that? Come on, Joshua, not again. Not the same old songs. Not the same old stuff. They threw rocks at us the other day, and so-and-so's son was hurt a little bit. Not today, Joshua, but yeah, we're going to walk around the wall. But today we're going to do it seven times. Don't you know Joshua was just excited in his spirit? Oh boy, we're going to do it seven times. And not only that, Joshua, but I want you to do something when you get to the end of it. I want you to tell everybody to yell as loud as they can yell when they get that seventh time. Now, do you think Joshua knew that that was the day and that he knew what was going to happen? No, there's no record that he knew what was going to happen. He was just walking with God, just expressing faith, just being obedient. God, this don't feel good. God, they're making fun of me. The people are laughing at me. God, think of the miracles that you worked in the ministry of Moses. And look at me, I got them marching around the wall. But when they obeyed God and began to yell, something happened. You don't know when it's going to happen. All you know is you're trying to obey God, and that's faith. Think of Abraham. I love this. 75 years old, and God tells him, you're going to have a kid. Oh, God. That don't happen very much in this tent anymore. For 25 years, marking the cycle on the calendar, going to have a child. Do you think in the 25th year that Abraham knew this would be the year? Nope. Bible said he just believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. His wife laughed at him. You know the servants were saying whatever they would say, but the Bible says that he was calling things that were not as though they were because he had heard God for 25 years. Now you know sometimes Sarah had a headache. But Abraham was saying, as many as there are stars in the sky, 100 years old, and a child. Can you imagine? No, don't. I don't. Go over the Psalms in your mind. They're full of wonderful words we worship with in song. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? My brother-in-law that is in nursing home now with Parkinson's disease. I can hear him singing that song. Deep, beautiful bass voice. But he's in a nursing home now. Praise the Lord for his loving kindness and his truth to all generations. Give thanks to the Lord for he is good. The wonderful songs. But what about the others? You see, songs, the Psalms are a journal of faith, and it's true faith because some of the other Psalms says, how long, O Lord? How long? Some of my enemies are camped around me. What's going on here, God? Why do you bless the fool and leave me needy? And the one that I like a lot, God wanted to just kill them all. Now, he wasn't talking about the household of faith. Of course, he's talking about those who are coming against him. Say, God, I got a very human idea. Why don't you just kill them all? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Folks, I'm preaching faith this morning. Because this is what faith looks like. Faith is not to convince God or to somehow leveraging Him to do what we want. Faith is the means by which we step into God's accomplishment. He's out there going before you and preparing a way. And if you'll just walk with Him and quit insisting on understanding, just walk with Him, understand Him, and step. One of these days you'll step right in the middle of faith, or the result of faith. The Bible says this, that it will overtake you in the way. That you keep doing the right thing and the blessing of God will run all over you someday. You keep doing what God has called you to do. And on the inside, I can tell you from long experience that faith does not always feel like faith. And we condemn ourselves, and often with our words we try to condemn God because we don't feel what we've been taught that we should feel and call it faith. Sometimes faith feels like you're scared to death. Sometimes faith feels like uncertainty. Sometimes faith feels like anger. And sometimes it's just a child blindly reaching and the hand of God slipping into that hand and you don't know how or why. Sometimes it's just that way. Sometimes it's watching, learning, preparing. And I'm thinking of one night last week that little Leslie and Rebecca were out walking up down the side of the pond at our place, and Rebecca was fishing. She's gotten where she's pretty good fishing. Well, little Leslie had this big marshmallow, like this big. They make them especially now to help people gain weight with s'mores. And she had one of those she was nibbling on. And she'd take that marshmallow and put it in her hand, and she'd make the casting motion. And then she'd pull it back, and she'd reel that marshmallow. Watching and learning, and guess what? This week I found her a Scooby-Doo rod and reel at a yard sale. You know why? Because I see the willingness in a kid to do something that's refreshing and good, and I want to help that. I kind of think our Father's like that. That He sees our willingness and He kind of wants to help us to understand it deeper and to help us walk into something that will be good from us. You know, when you go to God and you pour out your fears and your frustrations and you're honest to God, not at God and not against God, but you pour it out, God, I'm just afraid in this situation. God, I don't like the way it looks like it could come out, but God, I know that You're with me. I know that You're helping me. I know that You have said that You're with me, and I know that You have said that You're with this person that I'm praying about. God, I'm not speaking against them. You're working in their life. I'm not saying kill them, Lord. Lord, I'm just pouring out what's real here. Just keep showing up. Keep learning, keep participating. And no, it doesn't always feel good. Sometimes faith feels bad. Faith feels like, oh man, I've got to trust Him in another process here. God, I'm sorry, but I get tired of trusting You sometimes. It don't look good. No, if you can't get that real, that's okay, but I'm that real sometimes. I tell God, I'm tired of this, but I'm going to follow You. Lord, I've made my decision. I've made my choice. I'm going to follow You to the end of my days. And wherever that may lead, sometimes I'm not even sure where it's leading. But God, I'm going to follow You. I'm going to walk across that river. I'm going to get my feet wet. And if it don't divide, I'm going to swim. And if I can't swim, I'm going to drown. But God, I'm going to follow You. Why? Because you've got to make up your mind. You can't be back and forth. You can't be that double-minded person that's just back and forth. One day you're accusing God, the next day you're accusing somebody else, and the next day, oh God, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Now, think of the machine in the hospital that's attached to monitor your vitals. The line on that screen goes kaboop, up and down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. That blood pressure cuff squeezes on your arm periodically. Sometimes when you're asleep, that thing, for me, it'd make me almost crawl out of that bed and grab somebody. That blood pressure cuff going, and everything that's happening, and then you realize that that machine is evidence that there's life here. That somebody that knows more than me is trying to help me to maintain that life. And every time that thing goes, That's evidence of life. Every time that blood pressure cuff squeezes and there's no alarm that goes off, that's evidence of life. And there's somebody that knows more than me that's keeping an eye on that thing to help sustain that life. And folks, that's what life of faith looks like. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Sometimes squeezed until you just feel like you can't be squeezed anymore. But that somebody that has an eye on you, that knows more about it than you do, is allowing you to experience what you need to experience to become a mature person, a man or woman of faith. And faith looks a lot more like that than it does quoting scripture. A lot more like that than it does getting alone in a closet and yelling at God for 3 hours. You hear me? Some people think that's faith. That's really not. I'll never forget some of the illustrations that I've seen through the years, not heard but seen, of people that will get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and they'll just get somewhere and they'll yell at God for 3 hours and then leave that place saying, well, got my praying done for today. No! Never finished. Always going to communicate, going to be in connection throughout the day, going to be talking to Him all day long, going to be pulling my thoughts back to Him. And when things get all out of whack, instead of going nuts, I'm going to pull my thoughts back to Him and say, God, I'm just scared here. I'm really nervous about this. God, I might be even getting a little bit depressed, but God, I know that You're my light and You're my salvation. I know that You have said that You're with me. And God, I really don't want to put this attitude off on You. God, You've got to help me. That's faith. Because you're turning back to Him over and over again. And let me say this to you. Biblical faith is easy. It's not hard. If you're saying, oh, I'm trying to have faith, that's not yet faith. But when you're relaxing into Him, that's faith. Saying, God, no, this don't feel good. No, God, I'd rather not walk through this valley of the shadow of death. But God, I know You're with me. I know that the things that You've done before and the things You will do, they're a comfort to me. God, I know that somewhere in the middle of all this, You're preparing a table for me where I can sit down and dine and laugh at the enemy. God, I'm with You. God, whatever it takes, I'm with You. But faith is honestly answering the question, can these bones live? These bones live. Can this happen? Can that happen? It's honestly answered it and saying, I don't understand, God, but You know. Lord, can my mate ever really know You? I don't know, God, but You know. And I'm going to keep doing what I need to do. God, can this neighbor that's given me so much trouble, can they ever bend and come to know You? Yeah, God, I hear You. I'm the one that needs to bend. Okay. I'll go apologize to my neighbor for the attitude, God, but I'm with You. I don't understand it. I'm going to take the high road. I'm going to apologize. I'm going to repent, but God, I still don't understand it, but God, I'm with You. If You tell me to do it, I'll just do it. You know, I often ask this, particularly of men, that they say things like, well, it's just pride in me. And I just like to throw in there, what are you so proud of? Because the truth is, we don't have anything to be so proud of. I'm just a beggar that's trying to tell other beggars where I found food. That's really all I'm trying to do. And I'll tell you, it's in the presence of Almighty God. It's beginning to understand how much I need Him and understanding how disconnected I am with all of the knowledge that God has helped you to gain, all of the doctrinal things that He's helped you to ingest. Even with all of that, you're so disconnected from who the real God is that you need Him every moment of every day. All the things of evil that you think you know, that this one is doing that, and this one is doing that, this one said that, and they said it in a way, hey, they just typed a text. And you're saying, well, they said it like this. No, they didn't. They just typed a text. They just sent an email. But you've got it all figured out, your knowledge of evil. Your knowledge of what you would have said in that text and the tone you would have said it in causes you to go all off somewhere and God's not there. He's over here under the tree of life saying, come on over here and take from this. I'm giving you life and I'm giving them life and somehow I'm going to help you bridge the gap. Put your hand in mine. And no, it's not that, yeah, he will reach to their hand too, but he'll also teach you how to reach your hand out and take their hand and bring the two together. The true picture of intercession. And I become one who causes a meeting between God and man. Kind of messes with our doctrine, don't it? Faith is Jacob wrestling with God. But why that's faith is because he limped for the rest of his life for one reason. He wouldn't let go. And he packed up camp the next morning, his hip hurting him, and kept following the direction of God and became the father of many and one of our fathers of faith because he just wouldn't let go. Some of your encounters with God might leave you with a spiritual limp for the rest of your life. Many of mine have. But I'll tell you what, I'm still following him. Even with one leg dragging in the dirt, I'm still following him. Why? Because he understands and I don't. I'm going to leave you with two statements. One, stop trying to have faith in your faith. Two, when you have faith in God, he releases to you the faith of God. I want you to bow your head for a few moments. How many be honest and say, I really need to adjust my faith or allow God to adjust it? Anybody? I'll tell you, I've got my hand up. I want to be found adjusting my response to God all my life. But faith comes. I don't find any scripture that I can think of where it talks about faith is built. It says faith is comes by hearing, by understanding, by the impression of God. And that by his word, faith comes, faith comes, faith comes as you submit yourself to God. Any of you that would like to learn more about hearing God, Dallas Willard's book on hearing the voice of God is amazing. And that's not where this message came from, but probably part of it because I've read a lot. But I'm just telling you that you're probably expressing the kind of faith that would get you into Hebrews chapter 11 if the Bible was still being written right now. And you're not giving yourself credit and you're not giving God credit. Every time you've felt yourself falling, if you've reached up for him to hold you, that's faith. Every time that you find yourself in the dirt, if you've got up and gone again, that's faith. Every time you've wrestled with God and said, God, I don't want to do what it is that you're telling me I have to do, but then in the end you've done it, that's faith. So relax and live out the faith of God because he will help you and it will literally change your life and you'll find yourself having something to pour out in every situation as you live life alongside those that are in your sphere of influence.